Hi, this is Daniel J. Hogan, and welcome back to the Magic of Aerie podcast, brought to you by magicofaerie.com and nobody else. Last time, our heroes met Queen Lana IV, ruler of the dragon-like creatures called the Worms that lived in the city beneath the sea. The queen told Steve he must travel to the Temple of Arcana and meet the three sisters, but the queen told the boy the choice was his. He could continue his quest, or Five Toes the Dragon would carry him back to the surface world. The choice was his. To stay updated, you can like the podcast on Facebook, just search for Magic of Aerie, or you can follow me on Twitter, at Daniel J. Hogan, or you can follow the podcast, at MOE Podcast. And now, the next wonderful episode of The Magic of Aerie. Episode 32, The Temple of Arcana. Steve weighed the options in his head. He was not against giving up if it meant he could go home, but the queen did not really say anything about going home, just that he could be taken to the surface, and he could only guess what would happen then. And on the other hand, deep down he felt he owed something to Mud, Tuga, and the others who had helped him on his quest thus far. The boy sighed, and thought that the sooner he went to this temple and did whatever he had to do, the sooner he could get back on land and get rid of the disgusting lungfish on his face.
Fine, let's go,
the boy said at last, causing the queen to break into a wide smile. Steve figured staying underwater a little while longer wouldn't be too bad, since there weren't any pyrics or any other giant monsters after him down here. The companions turned to leave after bowing once more to Queen Lana IV.
Get lost,
Queen Lana IV cried. The companions stopped in mid-swim and turned to face her.
What'd you say?
Get lost.
What's the big idea, lady?
What Uncle Shameless did not realize was that telling someone to get lost was the politest and friendliest goodbye in Worm society. It dated back hundreds of years to when the founder of the kingdom, Durf, got lost one day and found the canyon valley that Minenat was later to be built in. Telling someone to get lost was shorthand for saying good luck on a journey and to benefit from the unexpected. It would have shocked many a worm to find out the saying did not hold the same status among humans back in Michigan.
Please, get lost.
Well, same to you, lady.
Why, thank you,
Queen Lana said with a smile, mistaking Uncle Shameless's anger for serious compassion. Uncle Shameless glanced around at the rest of the worms in the room.
You know what? In fact, all of you can get lost.
Queen's servants and guards bowed their heads respectfully to Uncle Shameless and began applauding him as he exited.
Get lost? Cried a guard.
Yes, do indeed get lost, yelled a servant.
Still believing the worms were insulting him, Uncle Shameless continued returning the volleys one by one by pointing to the individual worms as he swam by and saying,
Get lost!
To each one. As they exited the throne room, Queen Lana, along with her servants and guards, all yelled, Get lost! In unison.
Man, what a bunch of jerks!
Uncle Shameless snapped as a triangular door shut behind him.
I had no idea you were so versed in worm culture.
Blah.
The jerks were a saintly tribe of worms who went around doing good deeds and all
the... The rest of the conversation was cut off by Steve yelling in frustration. You are listening to the Magic of Aerie podcast, a free audiobook podcast by Daniel J. Hogan, available at magicofaerie.com and through the iTunes music store.
And the one cannibal says back to the other one, I was an old lady. That was my lunch.
Uncle Shameless laughed as he told jokes to pass the time while traveling to the Temple of Arcana on the back of Five Toes. As always, he was the only one who laughed.
Here we are,
said Five Toes. In the distance, Steve saw a crumbling temple that looked similar to the buildings in Minenat. Unlike the castle, however, it was not leaning to one side. Five Toes swam to a sandy outcropping and lowered himself to the ground.
Why are you stopping here? The temple's still a long ways to go.
This is as far as I go, young one. From here on, the journey is up to you.
You're leaving?
Five Toes nodded, as everyone, except Steve, dismounted the dragon and swam to the sandy seabed. Five Toes turned his blue, scaly head to face the young boy.
Fear not, young hero. I have faith in you. I'm positive you will fulfill the prophecy.
Steve ignored the distant rumble of thunder and reached out to pat Five Toes on his snout. A smile crept across the boy's face as he left the safety of the dragon's back and joined his companions on the seabed. Everyone waved to Five Toes as he swam away and out of sight. Once he was gone, Zero turned to the group.
shall we?
The path to the Temple of Arcana was surrounded on each side by tall rocks, forming a natural fence. After a few minutes of swimming, the path opened into a large open space, like an empty field, surrounded on every side by the same tall rocks. Across the field was the temple.
It's very still and quiet in here,
Era noted after not seeing any signs of underwater life for several minutes. Zeroth nodded, as he too had noticed the lack of sea life in the underwater field. The rocks surrounding the edges of the field climbed many feet up and curled inward, so that it resembled a mouthful of nasty-looking teeth. Steve tried to guess how far the pointy rocks went up, but he could only guess that it would take a long time to try to swim over the rocky barrier. Zeroth stopped in mid-stroke.
What is it?
Better not be any more of those worm jerks, because if it is, I'm...
Quiet!
Zeroth snapped at Uncle Shameless as he scanned the dark, shady horizon.
I thought I saw something.
It's nothing,
said Steve, although he was wondering why it had suddenly become darker. He looked at the temple across the field.
Come on, let's get this over with. I want to get this smelly lungfish off my nose,
Steve said as he swam past Zeroth.
Wait!
Huh?
Was all Steve had time to say before a giant object slammed into the ground just inches in front of him. The force of the impact threw Steve backward into Zeroth. It also kicked up a large amount of sand, which clouded everyone's vision.
What was...
Steve asked, before Zeroth covered his mouth. As the sand cleared, a massive red lobster claw with pointy bumps covering its surface in random places appeared. To Steve, it looked more like a huge red tree, since the claw, even with part of the pincers buried in the sand, was well over 10 feet long. Claw moved slowly upward as its owner pulled it free from the ground. As the companions watched, it seemed as if the pincers were never ending. Finally, the pincers were free of their sandy prison, and everyone saw their jagged red tips.
Crackers!
Everyone was afraid to find out what the giant arm was attached to and started swimming faster, but could not outrun the huge shadow looming over them like a dark storm cloud. Steve looked up to see the attacker, but all he could see was a vague silhouette. They were trapped in the sandy field by the rocky border, and their only hope was to head for the Temple of Arcana. They all swam to one side, only to be stopped by another claw slamming into the sand to block their way. Anytime they made a turn toward the temple, they were stopped by one of the claws nearly crushing them, forcing them to turn back.
What is attacking us?
I don't know, but it really doesn't want us getting to that temple.
Then let's forget about the lousy temple. I can take a hint. Let's just get out of here.
Zeroth turned to face the boy, his eyes narrowed in anger. Zeroth reached over and grabbed Steve by his chainmail and gave the boy a shake, letting his anger momentarily get the best of him.
We can't do that! You have no idea the trouble I'm in for helping you! We will reach that temple!
Nuts to the temple!
Steve yelled as his sense of self-preservation kicked in after being shaken by the angered birdman. The boy turned away from Zeroth and began swimming up, hoping to make it to the surface. Zeroth immediately regretted yelling at Steve and swam after him. Steve and Zeroth were only able to swim a few feet upward when a powerful current from above pushed them back down to the sand with a low thud.
What hit me?
Whatever that thing is, it swam right above you. It's very fast,
Era answered as she helped the boy get upright.
It's coming.
The large shadow finally swam away from them, only to turn downward and begin swimming right for the group. Its shape and features were still hidden by the shadows from the rocky wall, but whatever it was, Zeroth could tell it was enormous.
Get ready.
For what?
Anything.
Brilliant strategy, General,
Steve said sarcastically. Deep down, he tried to hide his own fear of the large shape cutting through the water toward them. Creature broke from the shadows cast by the rocks, and Steve did not know whether to be terrified, amazed, or disgusted. The creature was the size of a school bus. Not just any school bus. One of those super fancy models that is extra large with a bathroom and a movie screen. It had two large, long lobster's arms, complete with the deadly crushing claws the companions had already seen. The bright orange-red pincers and arms were connected to the main body, which was covered in light brown feathers until the midsection. At the halfway point of the creature, the feathers stopped and were replaced by the plated sectional body of a lobster, complete with the spindly legs underneath and a fan-like tail at the rear. From the feathered upper back sprung two giant feathery wings, which made the creature look even larger. Adding to the creature's odd collage of body parts was its head. An eagle's head, complete with a terrifying beak, sprang from its feather-covered upper torso.
on either side of the beak, with two orange-red long whip-like tendrils. Lastly, its angular eyes were pupilless and glowed a dull yellow, reminding Steve of a jack-o'-lantern.
Okay, that's it. I give up. I've had my fill of crazy, and that thing just put me over the limit.
A rock lobster.
Correction, that did. What did you just say that thing is?
A rock lobster. Cam told me a legend about it once.
Dang, I was hoping you were kidding about that.
It's a child of Zah. It's part rock and part...
looks part bird to me.
A rock is a bird.
Uncle Seamus thought hard for a moment and glanced at the rock wall around them, and then at the oncoming rock lobster.
I ain't never seen rocks fly before, but I have seen them roll. Although there was this one time...
Not rock. Rock.
You're talking crazy, man.
R-O-C, not R-O-C-K.
Again, Uncle Seamus stared at the frustrated Zero, then shook his head.
Look, I didn't spend 2 years in the first grade for nothing. I'm pretty sure I know how to spell rock.
I really hate to interrupt this witty banter, but we still have a very angry... thing?
Rock lobster. Also known as a...
One name only, please. As I was saying, it's still heading right for us.
The rock lobster swooped down to the sandy seabed and landed on its 10 spindly spider-like legs. Its landing and ensuing scuttling kicked up a large amount of sand, which made it difficult for the companions to see.
We need a plan.
Gee, you think so?
Swim away?
I second that.
Zeroth swam over to Uncle Seamus.
Seamus, I have a plan, and I know it's asking a lot, but I need you to drink more wine.
I like this plan already.
Good, and after that, all you need to do is fight the rock lobster while we dash for the temple, okay?
Zeroth added quickly. Uncle Seamus thought for a moment, looked down at his wineskin, then looked over at the large monster scuttling through the clouds of sand. He then looked at his wineskin once more.
Well, if it ain't a perfect plan, but it'll do.
Zeroth swam over to Steve and Era to prepare them for their part of the plan.
We will have to fight this creature for a little.
Rock lobster.
We'll have to fight the rock lobster until Seamus can properly distract it.
Are you serious?
Yes,
Zeroth commanded as he reached inside his cloak for Gladius. Steve followed Zeroth's example and reached in a pocket for his own swordfish. However, the boy had forgotten that once a swordfish is back in water, it wakes up from its state of hibernation. Now that it was free of Steve's pocket, the fish quickly swam away.
Dang it!
What's wrong?
Steve pointed to his swordfish as it quickly swam away. A small fish darted through the water and headed for the rocky border of the underwater field. However, it was not fast enough to escape the reach of one of the whip-like tendrils on either side of the rock lobster's face. The tendril shot out, grabbed the fish, and whipped it back to the creature's waiting mouth. Steve began to seriously rethink his idea of swimming away. The boy noticed Gladius was still in Zero's hand.
Gladius, why didn't you swim away?
He wishes I would help him swim away. Tough luck, freak show. You ain't getting rid of me that easily.
Zeroth shook his head and readied Gladius. The swordfish's large eyes watched the huge creature lumber toward them.
Forget it. I'm not fighting that thing. No way, no how.
The talking swordfish protested as it refused to extend its sword-like tongue.
You don't have a choice,
Zeroth said as he tightly squeezed Gladius's small body.
Blech.
Steve and Era hid behind Zeroth as the rock lobster closed in. Meanwhile, Uncle Seamus floated around drunkenly, trying to remember what it was Zeroth had asked him to do. The speed of the rock lobster's approach caused a powerful current to wash over the companions. They tightly hung onto each other, except Uncle Seamus. Zeroth praised Uncle Seamus's strategic thinking, although he failed to realize that Uncle Seamus was too busy singing to himself and was not paying any attention to the events going on. When the rock lobster was within a few feet of Zeroth and the others, it reared up on some of its rear legs. It gave a mighty bellow, and its two front legs began stabbing downward at the group, like large orange-red spears. Each blow struck the ground, and only the ground, thanks to some quick swimming by the webbed-footed Era and Zeroth. Zeroth swung Gladius at the legs, but they were too quick to strike. The birdman dodged out of the way of a large claw as it swung at him before swimming over to Era, who was hanging on to Steve.
You keep hanging on to him. When Seamus distracts the beast, swim toward the temple as fast as you can,
Zeroth ordered as he kept his eyes on the scuttling rock lobster. Era nodded and tightened her grasp on Steve. The group did their best to dodge blows from the rock lobster and patiently waited for the unseen Uncle Seamus to strike. Sadly, Uncle Seamus had dozed off and was floating through the water, sound asleep. You are listening to the Magic of Airy podcast, a free audiobook podcast by Daniel J. Hogan. Copies of the original novel can be purchased through magicofairy.com and amazon.com. You can also download a PDF of the entire novel for only $3.75. Visit magicofairy.com for more details. The rock lobster attacked again with its giant claws, each time coming within mere inches of crushing Steve and the others. They continued to swim out of the way of the creature's dangerous but slow-moving claws. Meanwhile, Uncle Seamus continued his nap. No matter where the companions swam to, the rock lobsters scuttled around to cut them off from their destination. Zeroth had enough and pushed off from the sandy ground, launching upward in the water until he was eye to eye with the attacking rock lobster. Creature opened its mighty beak and roared as one of the two tendrils near its beak lashed out at Zeroth. The birdman dodged a giant fleshy whip and swung at it with his swordfish, cleaving off several feet from the tip. As Uncle Seamus dreamt during his nap, he heard within his dream a loud roar as if something had been hurt. Then he heard more yelling and someone kept calling his name. He did not like this dream, as it was noisy and it smelled bad too, like a fish market on a hot day. He was jarred from his slumber when something hit him.
"What's the big idea?"
Uncle Seamus called out and felt around to see what had hit him. He grabbed a large, squishy object in his hand and opened his eyes.
"What the heck?"
he started as he looked down at the cleaved section of the rock lobster's tendril that had floated into him while he was sleeping.
"Snake!"
Uncle Seamus cried as he fought the lifeless tendril. The tendril had managed to wrap itself around part of his body, and after a few minutes, Uncle Seamus was free. Then, Uncle Seamus heard the screams and roars from his dream and looked over to see Zeroth and the others fighting the rock lobster.
"What the heck is that thing?"
he asked aloud, completely forgetting his conversation with Zeroth from only a few minutes before. Whatever it was, the man thought, it was harassing his nephew and friends. Uncle Seamus decided quickly to put a stop to that. This concludes today's episode of The Magic of Airy. Make sure to join us again next time. Will Uncle Seamus fight the rock lobster? Who will win? Will Steve make it safely to the temple? Find out in the next thrilling episode of The Magic of Airy. The copyright date of this episode was September 12, 2010. The Magic of Airy podcast by Daniel J. Hogan and Scary Dice Productions is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 United States license. This only applies to the podcast and not the original novel. Feel free to share this podcast. The Magic of Airy, the podcast, written and produced by Daniel J. Hogan. This podcast was produced in GarageBand and Audacity on a Mac. Some sound effects and music are provided by freesound.org. Other sound effects and music provided by GarageBand. For more information or to buy a copy of the original novel, please visit magicofairy.com or danieljhogan.com. And as always, thanks for listening.